Bienvenidos, honorable members, esteemed ladies and gentlemen. Firstly, let me thank Mr. Sekiti. Are you alone or are you with the team?
I'm supposed to be joined by one other person.
Okay.
I think the plane was delayed. I hope he will be joining me later.
Okay. He or she will find us on the way. And but on the same, thank you. And today's deliberation is on briefing by the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, that is called that, on tourism successes and challenges in respect of job creation and sustainable livelihoods in the local sphere of government. And that will be before we adopt the PRR report, which is prepared and we should have received yesterday. We, from our side, we are looking at improving on synergies for purposes of efficiency, for purposes of economy, and for having better synergies in whatever is happening at all the levels. It's not, we should not find duplication of what is done at national level, provincial level, and municipalities, and then each has got to be clear of their role as to what exactly they should do. And and then we believe that COPTA will be of great assistance in as far as this is concerned in our struggle to create a better life for all, that is to have more jobs, decent jobs, to have more sustainable livelihoods in order to have an accelerated and inclusive growth in South Africa. So we believe COPTA has got a part and they could have suggestions as well in as far as how we could assist in traditional communities where they have a role. If perhaps we had ideas about heritage and cultural tourism, where perhaps what their thoughts were and so forth. As tourism, we are looking at increasing tourism, increasing, broadening its spread, and to make sure that there is a transformation in the industry so that everyone feels part of the industry. When you say that there should be less filth, people should understand where we come from. When you say we need water, water in rural areas, we need roads, we need road signage, we need cleaner environment. Those types of things should be said by all so that we can have progress in our beautiful land, South Africa. So we are having here Mr. M. Sekiti, Deputy Director General. So far, and then we are expecting, he is Deputy Director General in Governance and Intergovernmental Relations. I think that is very, very apt, really, because that's a challenge the country is having. And we are expecting Mr. R. Lubengo, Executive Manager, Municipal Services, Service Partnerships. So over to you, Mr. Sekiti, and we have allocated you a maximum of 60 minutes. We are not saying that we have to exhaust the 60 minutes, but that is the maximum. You can go as far as 60 minutes. And the second area then will be discussions, deliberations, and questions. In as much as we are doing oversight, public participation, but at the same time we sometimes want to share experiences in order to make our country a better country.
culture, we normally start by apologizing even when you are not wrong. I want to apologize on behalf of the Director General, who is attending the Select Committee on Local Government. And I'm also apologizing because I'm only new in the department, less than a month. I'm really going to focus the presentation on some of the policy imperatives that really drive the local economic development of which tourism is part, and also try to link those policy imperatives with the current health outcomes of government, and also look at the local government general strategy and the 10-point plan, and see how tourism plays a role in that. And then I will look at some of the funding incentives and the challenges pertaining to the funding incentive with regard to supporting municipalities or local government in general in focusing on tourism. And then I will talk a little bit about the National Tourism Strategy, which is your forte, and also talk about what is needed to support local government. But as I conclude, I'll look at a case study of one of the municipalities which will articulate some of the challenges that the municipalities are facing with regard to tourism, as well as some of the success factors that will be required for us to be able to get tourism at that level. I'm about to start, I think my colleague has joined me, Mr. Luengo. Our starting point is to start from section 152 of the Constitution, which articulates the object of local government. Although you look at MS 5, we are focusing on the one that refers to the promotion of social and economic development, because that is where we feel that tourism really plays a part. But if you look at D, we also look at the promotion of safe and healthy environment, and to encourage the involvement of communities and community organizations in matters of local government. Now, in 1998, the White Paper on Local Government was approved, and one of the outcomes was local economic development. Now, as the department, you realize that the White Paper talked about certain characteristics, one of which was maximizing social development and economic growth. But in doing so, we needed to integrate and coordinate all the activities at this sphere of government. Now, the national priorities of the current administration in the medium-term strategic framework, there are 10 priorities, but government has those 12 outcomes, two of which are relevant to what we are talking about today. One being the decent employment through inclusive growth. And our view is that tourism should form part of that inclusive group. And the outcome 9, which is the outcome that local government is focusing on, talks about a responsive, accountable, effective, and efficient local government system. A system which will enable municipalities to be able to focus on local economic development activity. I'm not going to regurgitate all the 12 outcomes because my view is that honorable members are aware of those 12 outcomes. Now, with regard to local economic development, there was a review by the department, which review linked with the local government 10-point plan. And out of that, we came with the local government turnaround strategy that was adopted in November 2009. Now, in that, the integral part of the 10-point plan, the second one was that we need to have a local economic development in municipalities that should be supported by national government and state-owned enterprises. So that in itself indicates the central role that the Department of Cooperative Governance has to play in supporting municipalities in their quest to put tourism at the center of their development. Like I said, that I will talk a little bit of some of the challenges that are in municipalities or that municipalities are facing with regard to the implementation of tourism at that level. Then the department is responsible for the municipal infrastructure grant, which is a conditional grant that is formula based. Now, this grant, in terms of the formula, is supposed to be assisting municipalities in funding their local economic development. Now, we are saying that is the instrument that national government can use in order to allow municipalities to be able to focus on local economic development and tourism. Now, if you look at the diagram that is on the slide, you realize that we have the integrated development plan, which I will talk to later. We have the provincial growth and development strategy, and we have the LED and tourism strategy. Now, those are dependent mostly on the municipal infrastructure grant. And the reason why national government put conditions on the MIG was to allow municipalities to really focus on some of the activities so that they should not neglect issues around local economic development. Now, this municipal infrastructure grant has got different categories in terms of the formula. And that formula has the B component, the C component, and the E component. Now, on the B component, you focus mostly on the basic residential infrastructure like your water supply, your sanitation, your stormwater management, your municipal roads, your refuse removal, your community lighting, and solid waste disposal sites. Now, the linkage of this basic residential infrastructure with tourism is that you cannot have a tourism facility that does not have water supply or sanitation. And you cannot have that tourism facility that is not accessible because the roads that are there are not necessarily worthy to be ridden on. So the big component focuses on the basic residential infrastructure. Now, with regard to the big component, focuses on public municipal services, which include your public transport such as taxi ranks and bus shelters, emergency services such as fire stations, community services such as child care facilities, beaches, amusement facilities, cemeteries, funeral parlors, etc. And then we have the E component, which focuses on micro enterprises and social institution. Now, of the total MIG allocation, 5% goes to the E component. Now, this is where we might need to really ask a question as to why is tourism in local places or in municipalities not taken into consideration, even when government is putting this kind of resources for them to be able to deliver. The answer is a very simple one. If you look at the total kitty of the MIG, we talk billions. But when you have to disaggregate this to 283 municipalities and you take 5% of what is going to the municipality, you find that it cannot even afford to put a tourism plan for that particular municipality. That becomes the challenge. The second challenge is with regard to the manner in which we develop integrated development plans. Now, when you go to a municipality, there is some form of consultative processes that should be followed for you to come up with the IDP. Now, that consultative process, you have to consult all the community structures, community members. Now, you find that at the top of the priority of this municipality is water and sanitation, which is forming part of the big component that I've referred to. Now, when you have that top priority, you'll find that communities will say we want water, sanitation, roads, and refuse removal, as well as electricity. That will be the topmost priority. Now, immediately you have moved around and you want to address those, you will find that most of the programs need to be directed to all the activities that are in the B component. And you find that the municipalities leave very small amount that should focus on tourism. That is the challenge that municipalities are having at that particular level. Although the services that are at the B component support some of the facilities of tourism, the challenge of really saying how do we put tourism at the top of the priorities of municipalities is a challenge vis-a-vis the consultation processes that has happened. And the last challenge is the way in which communities are structured. You find that one community is saying we need electricity, another one needs water. But we also say, in terms of our own policy, you cannot go to an area and fund a tourism activity when there's no water. So those are some of the challenges that really makes tourism at the local government level to be seen as the last resort. Now, when this is just an illustration of the allocation within the medium-term expenditure framework. If you look at the total amount of MIG allocation in the medium-term expenditure framework, it's 36 billion. Now, if you take 5% of each, that should focus not only on tourism, but on all the local economic development infrastructure or projects, is only 1.8 billion. Now, if you divide 1.8 billion by 283 municipalities, you can see the meager amount that goes to municipalities for LED and other programs. I have talked to the medium-term expenditure framework, which provides 1.8 billion to be spent by municipalities on municipal infrastructure to support small medium enterprises. This constitutes funding that can be used for encouraging tourism, which boosts local economic development. However, municipal allocation for this sector has been insufficient. That is the point that I've referred to. And there are very few municipalities that are doing projects that support the local economic development. Now, you will note that COCTA, as far back as 2005, 2006, developed a broad local economic development strategy, which was supposed to be replicated to the 283 municipalities. Now, the challenge that happened was that most of the municipalities went on to hire consultants to draft the local economic development strategy that they never opened, which resulted in those LED strategies just decorating couples, Honorable Chair. Now, with regard to the tourism, the national tourism strategy, the national tourism strategy has identified the lack of budget allocation towards the development of tourism at local level. And the sector strategy outlines several actions that need to address this issue. And it states that there must be an engagement with the South African Local Government Association, the National Treasury, and COCTA to ensure that a comprehensive framework for the tourism activity at local level is developed. A capacity building for tourism at local government level is also very critical to improve overall planning for the management of the tourism industry. As I get into the case study, I'll illustrate a bit around that. The strategy has identified one of the problem areas that need to be resolved as part of the strategy as lack of understanding and knowledge of the tourism at local level. But even when the strategy is identifying this kind of a challenge, there are pockets of tourist attraction areas in quite a number of these local municipalities. But the challenge is, how do these municipalities really make use of those areas to achieve the goal that is proposed by the National Tourism Strategy? Now, what kind of support does this sphere of government require? Some of the municipalities are considering tourism as something that offers future economic development opportunities. However, there appears to be some uncertainty amongst some municipalities about how to achieve this. There is preference for spending on tangible items, notably infrastructure and tourism information centers. And to improve tourism is to improve local government understanding of the value in funding strategic items such as awareness, visits by tour operators in the municipal area, and hosting of tourism exhibitions. I'm going to come back to this as I get into the case studies as indicated. The capacity of South Africa's local government to plan for and manage tourism appears sound. However, there are a few areas of concern. Some of those few areas of concern are the issues around coordination of tourism responsibility, incorporation of tourism within council's organizational structure, funding for strategic tourism issues, such as the strategic planning and marketing. Now, the case study that I wanted to share with the honorable members is a case study that will indicate both the challenges and successes. It's a case study that is Vembe District Municipality. The Vembe District Municipality is in Limpopo. Perhaps just a short articulation of Vembe District Municipality. It is in the border of Zimbabwe, Botswana, and Mozambique. And it has four local constituent municipalities, which is Makado, Turamera, Musina, as well as Mutare. Now, some of the challenges that the Wembeck as a district municipality had indicated were that there was lack of investment promotion, investment with regard to the promotion of marketing strategies in all the five municipalities. The two biggest local municipalities in the area, which is Tulamera and Makado, have developed tourism strategies, but have never had any tourism officials, so no one was available to facilitate the implementation of that plan. And all the municipalities except the district, as I've indicated, did not have any tourism personnel. And Wembeck as a district had only one tourism officer who was responsible for coordinating tourism projects and programs for the entire municipal area. Now, there were also issues around the infrastructure, roads to tourism attraction areas that are not paved, and you find that for you to be able to go to this particular area, you need the four-wheel drive. For instance, if you look at the Mapungubwe, which is the national heritage, in fact, it's the international heritage site, the Mapungubwe. The road network to go to Mapungubwe is very, what is the English word? Sometimes it disappears. And some of the challenges is that when you have to do exhibitions, there are lack of big showrooms in the area, especially with regards to issues of arts and crafts, because if you look at the Wembeck District Municipality, it has got a lot of arts and crafts that can really compete with quite a number of national artists. And then we also have Wembeck having a number of renowned artists, but there's lack of market for their products. And most cultural and heritage sites, as well as museums, are not well protected, and some have been vandalized. We give the example of Kokwane footprints and the breathing tomb, and some low conservation for the archaeological and heritage sites. The district has more than 70 cultural and heritage sites, but there is, as the chairperson has indicated, lack of branding and signage for this particular site. And there is no regional tourism authority which should be able to assist the municipalities in harnessing some of the potential that is there. And there is insufficient graded accommodation. The district has 142 accommodation establishments, and only 28% of those are graded by the grading authority. Now, with regard to some successes that the district had, you find that their council has approved the district tourism strategy earlier in 2010, which becomes the strongest selling factor for tourism in culture, arts, crafts, and the spectacular scenery and environment. Perhaps one issue that is not being mentioned is the heat that is in this district, because for me it's something that can be harnessed into a tourist attraction area, because you can also harness solar energy in the area. And the district has two gates to the Kruger National Park and the Mapungubwe Heritage Site that I've mentioned. And it was also declared as a biosphere reserve by the UNESCO in 2009. And if you might have happened to go in that area, the biggest tree in the world is found in the local municipality called Mudari. And the district also facilitated a cooperation with the Department of Transport in the province that paved the road up to the big tree. and there's good cooperation between the municipality and the Limpopo Tourism Park. So those are some of the success factors. And within the district itself, they have put aside a budget to fund three community-based ecotourism projects. One that is our own ecotourism community project, which is finished, and the Mapate tourism project, which is still under planning, as well as Minga Cultural Village. The district also embarked on taking along tourism product owners to exhibitions such as the Tourism Indaba in Durban, the Rent Show in Nazareth, and the Sanganai Tourism Fair in Harare. And the district also was in the process of signing a memorandum of understanding with Dr. J.S. Moroka Municipality in Mpumalanga, Masvingo District Council in Zimbabwe, and Buyera Rural District Council also in Zimbabwe. One of the things that the district is doing, it has the annual tourism youth competition, which helps to unearth young people in tourism. And the incentive that the district has put aside is that any young person who wins in that tourism industry is given an incentive of 100,000 from the district for him to then invest it back into his business. And the district has also an annual showcase tour that is conducted. Now, what happens here is that the district will invite during the month of September either parliamentarians or tour operators to come for the whole week and enjoy the beauty of the district for free. So that is some of the success stories that we are saying. If national government, especially the Department of Tourism, can cooperate with the Department of Cooperative Governance, we may be able to extend some of the success stories that we're having in Vembe District and replicate it to the 283 municipalities. Now, some of the critical success factors that we think should be mentioned to the honorable members, honorable chairperson, is that we need to assist municipalities that have not yet incorporated tourism comprehensively into their IDP. Now, the question would be, how do we really support them? We need to assist these municipalities so that they understand the significance of tourism and that they develop plans to at least have a tourism plan in the IDP. And if a municipality does not have a tourism plan in the IDP, then we say that IDP is not necessarily credible. Now, we need to also facilitate improved working relationship on tourism-related issues between municipalities and local stakeholders through cooperative alliances. And we believe that through the initiative of this committee, the Department of Tourism can be encouraged to hold interdepartmental workshops with municipalities to really workshop them on the national tourism strategy. Now, we are also saying that tourism is a demand-driven sector, therefore volume and the value of demand informs investment in supply and job creation. And in terms of the white paper on tourism development and promotion, some of the roles of local government that have the potential to create jobs are the maintenance and development of public tourist attraction areas, and the provision of public infrastructure, provision of public amenities such as parking, ablution facilities, and public transportation, which are those activities that could be funded by the MIG, notwithstanding the challenges that I've already mentioned. And some of the critical success factors, we are provincial and national strategic framework and provision of tourism support services, TG, human capital development for the sector at local level, for instance, training of product owners, accelerating the implementation of transformation initiatives, looking at your black economic empowerment target, and also supporting the district local tourism organization, and the leverage on resources through strategic partnerships. Now, in conclusion, Honorable Chair, our view is that the Department of Tourism, through its participation in Output 1, in Outcome 9 package, in Outcome 9, can package and fund different tourism strategies for various municipalities in the country. Now, our view in Outcome 9 is that all these municipalities are not necessarily the same, so they should not be treated within the same vein, and therefore, you might find that in one municipality, the kind of tourism strategy that we need is not even a document that is more than 50 pages. It's only a two-page document that will be explaining how that municipality within its capacity can be able to really make tourism work. And secondly, we are saying the Department of Tourism can assist these municipalities by deploying through secondment tourism officials in municipalities to assist with the task of putting together a tourism plan in those municipalities. Chair, I think this is the presentation that we have prepared, and we are available to engage with the members and my colleagues here. If he has something to add, I'll give him, if you allow, Honorable Chair, 5 minutes to add.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Skiki. And welcome, Mr. Lwengo, the executive manager. Some people, when they say you are late, they need a date. Okay, over to you, Mr. Lwengo.
Thanks, Chair, and I apologize for coming after the meeting has started, but I'm not late, I'm still alive. Now, I think the presentation has covered, you know, a lot of other aspects that we thought we want to share with you know, members. Just to indicate that in our preparation for this meeting, we did realize that this committee had a strategic planning session, you know, sometime in July, to really come up with a national strategy for tourism. And we think that, you know, that strategy actually forms, you know, the basis for us to begin to support, you know, the National Department of Tourism and the committee in terms of moving forward with the implementation of the strategy. So we are aware of, you know, the issues that are embedded there, and I have identified the role that the department can play. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lubengo. Before our Honorable Civil Minister makes a question or makes a comment, let me just try and look at the objects. Some of the things that you may suspect do not belong to tourism or do not support tourism. Indeed, they do. For instance, if you go to your objects on page 1, the second slide, if you look at the provision of services to communities, that supports tourism. And therefore, economic development in the long run. It is an investment in economic in the economy. Number D, to promote a safe and healthy environment. people do not like to go to a place with malaria, for instance, with other diseases. They do not want to be infected or contaminate disease, cholera or something like that. So that supports the tourism as well. And to encourage the involvement of communities and community organizations. Here, I think from your side, you could assist in also making them aware of some of the things. For instance, there are complaints that museums, city, and camps, heritage sites, you have mentioned it will be to Vembe. And we have seen some of the things that you are mentioning. The dam there, what is the name of the dam in So this is they are saying that it is getting filled with sand and no one is assisting there. We believe that it is the department it is your department which could assist as well. The assistance from traditional leaders, we need support in some instances. We may be having counselors everywhere, but at a certain level also, we also need the support of the traditional level. And we believe that you are one of the people that could assist in this community. And tourism cannot do anything on itself. It depends on police, it depends on infrastructure that you provide, on road signages and so forth. So, all in all, I think we need each other. We had Salga, and then we appreciated the value of Salga in our strategy session. And I think there's we would have Cocta as well. So that when we do oversight, we cannot do oversight only on the ministry or on the department as ourselves. Some of the things, the departments are powerless to do anything because of the state of local government. So, but as far as I am concerned, we have gained a lot of insight as well from your presentation. Over to you, Honorable.
Thank you very much, Chair. I do want to thank the DDG and his colleague for presenting this report today. But I have to be honest and say I'm a little bit underwhelmed. We all know that tourism is perhaps of all the government departments the one that's most akin to the private sector. I mean, our role is to make sure that, as you said yourself, a demand-driven industry is supported and that we create a framework for tourism to flourish and create jobs and, you know, increase the empowerment of so many people. So it's actually very surprising to get a report which doesn't have a single figure. And I do understand that, you know, obviously there's a framework which has been explained to us as to how these things operate, what the various mandates are, what are the imperatives and objectives that's contained in white papers and various rules and regulations regarding the MI or the MIC grant, as it's called. But I would have preferred the department, and I hope through YouTube, maybe next time we can get more of a feel for this, to actually come and tell us something more that is quantitative. So I would have liked the department to say to us, this is the potential at local government level. This is what should be happening on a national scale, aggregating all the various local governments together, perhaps presenting some statistics of how it might be going in different provinces with the major variances, and then comparing what should be happening and what the potential is to what actually is happening, and then identifying what the reasons are for success where potential is reached, and I would imagine a more lengthy analysis of where we have not actually achieved potential as we should have. Because if there is one thing that I think everybody might agree on, it's that at local government level, there are very serious challenges, and I would argue, and it certainly is contained in the report, that there isn't, there isn't much success other than a few isolated cases. And we heard in our oversight visits to the border posts sometime ago last year the very heartfelt and sincere, I believe, plea from the local official as to how little money he has to promote tourism in the Free State. And, I mean, we understand it's a big, big challenge. So could I ask then that next time we actually get a more business-like analysis, which is quantified with some numbers, to let us know exactly what the extent of the problem and the successes are. Because I didn't get this from the report. What I got was a laundry list of what the rules are, but I don't really have a feel, other than a few statements, of how it's actually going. And if I may just conclude on an example note, I mean, there is a case study there for Bembe, which I think is a step in the right direction, but I still don't really know, after hearing the presentation and studying the case study, exactly what the tangible differences are that have been made. I mean, it says what we've done to possibly improve the situation, but it doesn't quantify for me that now, for example, there are X amount of jobs created. There's an additional amount of income flowing into that district council because of the tourism. There are, contributions to SARS from profitable businesses that have been established. There's nothing that I can actually say, well, those are indicators which give us an idea of what success otherwise has been achieved. The problem, I think, with some of the things that have been discussed today, I mean, it's a very interesting problem, and again, I'd like the department to maybe throw some light on this next time they actually appear before us. The point that's been made is no roads to get to these places, there aren't enough officials, there's not enough support, anyone accepts that. To me, the better question to ask is, would people go there if there were those roads? In other words, are we developing the infrastructure to give access and support to a tourism resort which tourists won't actually support, because it was mentioned that it was demand-driven? If that in fact is the case, then it's a misallocation of resources. On the other hand, it might very well be that if the road access and those other support services are put in, that people will go there and it will actually generate a positive return. But, I mean, I'd like to know, and the best way to do that is not to give us Bembe as one case study, but actually to compare Bembe to some other similar district municipality and compare before and afterwards. Then we can say, based on what we've learned from perhaps one in Northwest Province, slightly to the west, or maybe one in Mpumalanga, slightly to the east, that if we did these things, it would help or not, as the case may be. So, I mean, it doesn't flow for me naturally. It doesn't naturally follow that if you put in a road and you put in some officials to get the tourists, you might do, or you might not, and we don't know that. Last point I'd like to make, Chair, is that, I mean, I really think if we're going to have a presentation on the impact of local government on tourism and what can and shouldn't, is or isn't done, one has to compare a few places. So, I mean, if we take, for example, we can look at Cape Town as a big success. We saw that from the World Cup, but also Nelspruit. I happen to know the mayor, they left each wire. And Nelspruit was also very popular during the World Cup, and we went there on our oversight visits. It was clear that Nelspruit was one of the, Umbombela, to be more correct, was one of the better prepared host cities, and one could see they made a huge effort to prepare the city for the tourists. And not surprisingly, the Eastern Cape experience in Cape Town came out as the two most popular experiences that our World Cup tourists actually had. Now, you compare that to, for example, Maritzburg, where you and I come from, and Gainey, just to the north of that, it's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. Both cities are knockdown. One is under administration. Another one has been subject of a premier's inquiry or KwaZulu-Natal. And you take the actual tourist results. And Gainey, we have the Mpumalanga tourism experience. It is a disgrace. I mean, I went on a fun run through Mpumalanga the other day. It is filthy. No one goes there. The Mandela capture site is still, after years and years and years, not properly looked after. And it was in Doozy. They've got a budget of 800,000 rand a year to promote tourism. But the person in charge of tourism actually tells people not to come to the city because she's too ashamed of what they will see. They'll never, ever come back because the CBD is filthy. And even the mayor, who's been put in as a drastic emergency thing, says, we can't clean up the litter because it's not a top priority. Now, when you've got that scenario, nothing can succeed. And instead, the people are advised to go to the outskirts of the city and areas surrounding the city where it's not quite so bad. So at the end of the day, having a program to actually boost local government tourism is one thing. But if your actual local government is in a situation where nothing is succeeding anyway, I don't think it's going to have any effect. And I'd like to know from the department, how do we actually work around that scenario? Because they can give all the help to Maritzburg they want to, and I'm gaining for that matter. It won't make one bit of difference because it all disappears into this bottomless pit, unlike, for example, Maritzburg. So I have a very serious problem with how we address this problem when we need an environment that is supportive, and of local government in so many places, it isn't.
Yeah, it's like, I think essentially in some aspects there is a leadership vacuum somewhere, either because of structure or because of whatever reason, but there could be that vacuum because it's a multi-departmental effort. So now, how do we exercise leadership and have control? Because if you are in tourism, you talk safety, the police are in control, and they do what they feel is a priority. This is a dilemma we are having in tourism, which means now a particular type of leadership within departments. Let the department respond, and then we can have other questions.
Thank you, Chair. So I think the Honourable Member has just, you know, reiterated the challenges that we are facing with regard to municipalities. Mr. Skindy indicated here that we had our assessment of the state of local government, out of which the local government and our strategy emerged. And these are, you know, the same challenges that, you know, we have, you know, picked up as we move through municipalities in terms of capacity, functionality of municipalities, and a whole, you know, set of challenges that we will be talking about. The answer in to some of these questions lie in the leadership that you're talking about, Chair, and coordination of activities, you know, around tourism. You will remember that the change from the Department of Provincial and Local Government to the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs was purposeful in the sense that Department of Cooperative Governance now has to begin to create a single window of coordination as one of our outputs. It is at this point, that is why I think there is a reflection of that in the presentation that we made here, that at the present moment, it is really quite difficult for us to touch what each and every stakeholder is doing in tourism within municipalities. Because of the fact that these interventions are not directed through the integrated development plans that as we discussed earlier on. Now, I think for us here, the purpose is really to begin to take on board expectations of the committee in terms of the role that our department should play in issues of tourism. And I personally agree with the Honourable Member to say, as we move forward, we should begin to see a framework emerging and also begin to have, you know, tangible, you know, information about what's happening on the ground by various stakeholders for that matter, not just our role as cooperative governance. So I think that is a fair, you know, a comment in terms of the agenda that we're beginning to set for the department here moving forward. And a lot of what the Honourable Member said actually gives us areas for consideration, you know, moving forward in terms of what should be done. So I really think that, you know, to be honest with you, if you look at what aspects you wanted also to us to look at, there is an issue about evaluating, assessing implementation of the expanded public works program and its outputs and outcomes. But, you know, We cannot, you know, come to this committee and say we know definitely, you know, what EPWP is doing in terms of creating jobs through tourism and all the areas of intervention by other stakeholders as well.
Okay. No, I think also as there should be minimum service levels you expect from any municipality. The bottom line. I mean, otherwise, if we do not as a nation have that, I think we do not know where we are going to. So that the powers that you have can kick in. For instance, if people do not have capacity to draw up a plan for sanitation, for roads, for economic development, so forth and so forth, you say no, but you do not have the necessary capacity, and then somebody could then say no. Because of A, B, and C, you're not meeting the minimal service levels that the government should assist, whether it is they wish to or not. But I think we need to have that type of approach. Secondly, the issue of prohibited activities. You find a big attraction like Mokumu, somebody giving a mining license next to it. Men's play, which is a tourist distinct attraction, depending on base coming there, somebody giving a license for mining next to that area, knowing fully well that in about a year or 2 years' time or 5 years' time, there won't be base there, then the industry will be dead. All the hotels that you have built there will be closed because of that and so forth. So I think that as we develop and as we learn, I think there are things that have to be put in place. Manjore.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I agree with some of the points that have been raised here by yourself and by Mr. Kumpo. But with regards to the depth of the presentation in relation to the objects that you have quoted, which are also relevant, but we're not necessarily used by the government. I'm just wondering if perhaps, you know, the way we ourselves have put the topic did not quite limit, you know, the approach. Because I think the topic, as it is put, the people's successes and challenges in the step of job creation and a sustainable livelihood. Now that's more or less the same thing, the creation of jobs that might lead to sustainable livelihoods. So I don't know, I'm just thinking it could be the reason why the presentation concentrates only on very selected objectives and outcomes. Now, while definitely would have been happy with the statistical comparisons, you know, so as to show us exactly the successes and to show us the challenges. However, personally, I do feel that to me, there's two main things which the presentation brings up, which need to be looked into by the department, the budget, and secondly, it seems to me the question of capacity building for local governments to be able to implement, you know, the program or the promises. Yeah, the policy is a little bit difficult in the sense that it also depends very much on the ability of the private sector in an area to be able also to participate. I don't think that government alone, and in this case the municipalities alone, can do it. but they have to do it in coordination with the private sector. Now, depending also then on the capacity of the private sector in certain areas, one is simply more of the rural areas, because we know in the main urban areas like Cape Town, Joburg, it is quite a lot of work is going on there with regards to tourism. They are actually the main tourist attractions in our country, including infrastructure development and all. But we have been trying as a community to promote, you know, the idea of a domestic tourism, promoting a domestic tourism, in which case then people would not necessarily only go to the main marketed areas, but they could also visit areas that are probably not so previously known. But of course, even those areas, we do need to do a lot of marketing. So for me then, we'll say that the National Department of Tourism should assist. I look at the way the budget of the National Department of Tourism is structured, and I wonder where we fit in. All right, so I talk about the grant, which is providing the funding incentive, but obviously, I think more financial assistance is needed, which we can achieve some of the objectives that we are setting ourselves. When I look at the budget then of the National Department of Tourism, the way it is structured, I mean, we all know the bulk of it goes towards international marketing to the South African tourism. And only the else is left after that. And how then do we express the National Department of Tourism, to fit in? Probably this needs some discussion within the intergovernmental structure, but sit down and discuss this thing. We need to engage in real serious discussion. If we are to come up, even with our own wishes, as I say, we would like to see South Africans, for instance, becoming tourists in their own country. But this is very involved in terms of the development of the infrastructure in the various municipalities, particularly the rural municipalities. The question of capacity is true. Some of us come from those areas where, even though they are what has been identified as tourist attractions, but these are not that accessible precisely because the necessary infrastructure is not there. But the municipality itself may be such a small municipality that it cannot afford, you know, to develop that infrastructure. Certainly not now, and probably not even in the near future. But then the question is, well, what is to be done? What is to be done? I think it is beyond maybe I shouldn't put it that way, but it is beyond the capacity of this committee. We can do it just by talking and by promoting certain sort of ideas. The point I'm driving to is, there are certain municipalities where there are tourist attractions, but the infrastructure is so poor that those tourist attractions may never really contribute to the sustainable livelihood of those particular areas. But then we are saying, what is it that can be done to assist those municipalities, identify and assist them? But I think also, as you say yourself, in the area of capacity building, there is something that can be done there. I think we can, once the municipalities that have got tourist attractions have been identified, surely it should be possible to capacitate the municipalities themselves. It may not necessarily be by the budget, but at least to skill them, so that at least they can get started. While we are looking at how can we structure the budget in such a way that they can be able to do so. But as I said also at the same time, in an area, it will also depend on the private sector and how much the private sector itself is motivated, you know, to be part of the process that they encourage and encourage. Yeah,
talking about the issue that you mentioned on cars, I think as South Africans we are not doing enough here, but I don't know where that where it is supposed to be, whether it is art and culture and so forth. For instance, if you go to Cape Town, Durban, and you go to other cities, you find art from Rwanda, from Malawi, from Congo, from Zimbabwe, from wherever. But you do not find art from South Africa. If you do, it's just a few artists. And yet we know that there are a number of artists in Uganda. There are a number of artists in KwaZulu-Natal, in Lesotho, and so forth. Whether you are talking about clay, or you are talking about stone, or you are talking about... So it's these things that we've got to learn and try and assist. Where the local government can assist, let us see how it can assist. Where traditional leaders can assist, let us see how they can assist. Where provinces can assist, let us see how and where they can assist. So as to make our government a lot more effective than it is. Because some of the weaknesses are due to the three spheres of government. When the national government wants to step in, the provincial people say no, but this is our territory. When the provincial people want to step in, the towns and municipalities and districts say no, but this is our terrain. So it's all these things that need South Africans to talk and talk more. We need discussion, conversation as a nation to try and promote what we can do. But over to you, the DGO.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think I cannot agree more with all the comments that have been made by the honourable members here. Perhaps starting from the comment that has been made around the issues of statistical comparison, it might be that it was an undersight on our side, more so because there are issues of core functions and the power center, which might have disadvantaged us to be able to give the information as required. And secondly, I must also indicate that even the challenge of getting an invite, and up to yesterday we only knew that we were coming to participate in a workshop, and then we were told that no, we are supposed to be presenting. So to collect this kind of information, you find that what we did was to just get those municipalities that we knew that there was something happening, and also some of the provincial departments, like in the Eastern Cape, we send us something, and they send that late at night. But I think we should be able to, if we get a chance of coming back, I think we'll be able to really present something that is tangible and comparing various provinces and various municipalities in relation to issues of tourism. Now, there is something that I need to mention. You and you might find that some of the challenges that are there, that you find that the Department of Tourism has a particular funding to either find a tourism plan or to fund any tourism activity within a local municipality. But the only time that they go to the municipality is that they don't go through the planning phases of the municipality, but they go towards the end of March. And then you find that there's a lot of fiscal dumping into this municipality. Ultimately, at the end, the municipality will not necessarily fund a tourism activity. They will say, because you have dumped this fund now and you want it to be spent in two months or 3 months, we are going to be funding other activities that are outside tourism. Now, national government is doing, we are drafting a green paper on cooperative governance because we really want the whole of national government to be engaging on how do they intervene at the local spaces. The issues around Tunduzi, for instance, we're saying you can't have one person or one department going to Tunduzi. You need the totality of national government to be engaging and saying what kind of intervention does Tunduzi need. For me, the issue of capacity, it's not necessarily for those rural municipalities. It is across the board. And sometimes the kind of capacity that national government is taking cannot be able to support a municipality. I happen to have worked in a municipality, and I used to complain that the whole environment is overregulated. If you come to an official in a municipality, you find that besides the MFMA and the Environmental Management Act and the Waste Management Act, there are quite a host of other legislative provisions that this person needs to be adhering to. And you ask yourself, does a municipality that is similar to some of those municipalities that are in Section 139 now, can they be able to really understand and implement this in a manner that it should be implemented? But there are other cases. For instance, if you look at the Eastern Cape, there was one municipality around the area of as we are. There used to be a town which we used to call the Dirtiest Town. And there were some interventions that we made through the district in the East London, where they started going there to say, let's deal with the cleaning of this particular town. But it also boils down to the leadership that you should be having at that particular level, which we believe that the current review of the Municipal Assistance Act is going to assist, because it will then say this is the minimum requirement for the appointment of Section 57 managers, because in other cases you find a person who does not even have any qualification that is related to understanding simple things of operations at that particular level. So we want to agree with the honorable members here that we are really going to be, if we are going to come back here, it will also be better for us to be coming back also with the Department of Tourism, so that before we even engage, we compare notes as to what is really happening with regard to issues of tourism, because that's the department. We don't necessarily have a report that we can refer to except your local economic development report, depending on the local economic development strategies that have been developed as part of and parcel of what the department has put forward. Now, I would also like to agree with the issue of budget, because if you look at Mfunduzi, it's having 800,000. What more can this individual do in terms of marketing or in terms of So you find that those kind of issues are prevailing in municipalities. The issue of capacity building, I'm still saying that this committee through the Department of Tourism may need to look at the question of, firstly, can we be able to second officials to be able to go to this municipality so that at least we have a tourism plan? Because if you don't have a tourism plan, what are you going to start implementing? So if we can have that, we might be able to move a step in the right direction. Perhaps the challenge might be whether the department itself is structured in a manner that can be able to really assist in the issues around capacity. Now, the question of public-private partnerships are also issues that are very important for the tourism industry. So my view, Chair, is that we really don't want to come here and pretend that we know issues around tourism. It's our first encounter. We hope we will be better prepared in the next meeting to be able to really provide even statistics like we do normally in other areas of our function. We normally provide statistics as to which municipality is spending and is spending on the right programs or not on the right programs. We are able to provide that information. That is my comment, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. Well, what we also have learned in tourism is that the private sector has got a big role in tourism. For instance, I do not know how far you have engagements with organizations like FEDASA, the hotel group in South Africa, of all hotels, groups like the Tourism Business Council, who are advocating for tourism in South Africa. But I have interacted with them, the Chamber of Commerce, Chamber of Industries, those people. I am not saying that you've got to take what they say, but know where they are coming from, like NAFCOC, all these organizations, it's a number of them. Just share perspectives so that when we engage, particularly in an area where people have to invest and you depend much on entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship and not on rules, on government rules, then you can understand well from where they are coming and what their difficulties are, so as to be able to make more things possible without really agreeing on everything, but agree on synergies. I think because we've been to Kimberley, the Chamber of Commerce complained there that the sector in our industry has not responded to the Chamber of Industry for 2 years, to the Chamber of Commerce for 2 years. That shows that now the thing is that people are just ignorant of the problems of the other. People were just looking for enhancing the skills of people working for them and people that they can employ, but you just don't get a response from a center that has a mandate to do so. And it could be the problem with us as well. Now I'm not saying that. But with us, as we are going forward, I think we have to interact with groups, entrepreneurs at different levels, for us to realize the maximum benefits from what we do in terms of economics, the types of partnerships we want to do, the historically disadvantaged persons, how do they benefit? Because one of the problems in the industry is that there is no transformation. But you cannot force transformation. You've got to have for voluntary entrepreneurs to engage. But now, who is supposed to advocate? And what roles? These are the difficult questions we are grappling with, and we are all learning. But once we are learning, there has to be leadership that makes a difference. Because you can't keep learning. You keep learning, yes, but you want to make a difference at the same time if you're in leadership. But having said that, I don't know whether there are any further questions because we have another area. But what I have learned as we went on is that in seminars or workshops we plan, we've got to have somebody from COGTA for everyone to receive synergies. And that area in KwaZulu-Natal, in Umgeni, that Midlands meanders, a lot of people depend on industry in that area. Now they are developing a wine industry, selling wine, and then they're having a wine route and all these types of routes. So if you have a municipality that is under administration, running such big infrastructure, then really you are having problems. Mm. And now you need not an intervention, but sometimes the choice of words in English becomes a problem. You say an intervention, yes, it is an intervention, but they need assistance or something. They do not want to hear that word intervention. And that's how people sometimes are. But they need assistance of a sort, but they think they know, or they should know what should interfere. So it's these things that we need to grapple with, but make sure that the partnerships, the types of partnerships, promote the national goals that we have. Those, before we conclude, let us allow Mr. Kumar.
Just for my NCRPDA chairperson, we used to call it a soft intervention. Remember that phrase when the parliament can actually intervene a local municipality, so they try to accommodate your wishes by calling it a soft intervention. That's the actual terminology, but I don't know whether it's working. That's the problem.
Yes, I think it also depends on the powers vested in them. And they are vested in the local government, where they've got a right sometimes to say no, and nothing happens, whether they deliver or they do not. These are types of problems, and all nations have had, but we've got to move on now and try and improve. But let us hear your concluding remarks before we go to the next area.
But thanks, Honorable Chair. I don't have much to say except that for me personally it was an experience because it's my first experience in the Portfolio Committee. I've learned a thing or two, and with all the comments that have been made, we hope that in future we will be able to come and be able to present something that is tangible to the committee, which might make the committee to really make some suggestions around the policy instruments that we are having. But as I conclude, Chair, I would really implore the committee to really participate on the a green paper process immediately when it is made public on cooperative governance, because we really need this single window of coordination of activities of national government towards our local spaces. And let me take this opportunity to thank the Honorable Chairperson and Member for bearing with us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Kitty and Mr. Rubeno. We have learned of the limitations of the MIGs, the lack of resources and capacity in many municipalities, the challenges with our budgeting system, the type of management we are having to manage our archaeological and heritage sites is not always the type of management we look forward to. The necessity for us to cooperate with tourism and COX are some critical factors that you put forward, and we are looking forward to further interaction and looking at the budget capacity building leadership in our task to do oversight and make recommendations where we have to. And we are looking forward to your green paper. And when you have one ready, I think we shall now have to look at it with interest, with more interest as tourism. We're not aware that there is a green paper. And I think we can be in a position to make our contribution and assist in strengthening your approach to a better cooperative governance in South Africa. Thank you. Then let us look at the budgetary review and recommendation report. That is a draft that we should have all received yesterday or so. I don't know whether we have received that draft, but we are supposed to have a finalize that report. But before we do so, let us have a 5 minute break and then come back.
And also, the reason why you're not going to have a lot of
certainty here in front, and then as soon as it comes, if it is not ready, let us take the tea and come back and deliver it.
Pictures of everybody.
Yeah, it makes it easier to identify where you're speaking.
See if I can remember what her name. That's the wrong picture.
Priorities, analysis of strategic and operational plans of the department, analysis of expenditure report, analysis of the annual report and financial statements, consideration of reports of committee on public accounts, consideration of other sources of information, committees, observations, conclusions, and recommendations. Here we are having these budgetary review and recommendations report of this portfolio committee to try and make our oversight more effective. It is a sort of organized. I'm not sure whether it is the best approach, but it is an attempt, and which needs to be improved. So we have looked at, and then let us look at the correspondence is missing. The committee received progress reports on departmental programs and projects on the ground, departmental quarterly expenditure trends to ascertain expenditure patterns, annual report briefings. So, as part of our oversight, when we look at the debt, it's oversight, and then we're talking about our mandate, and the mandate of the department according to its strategic plan. Let us overlook the broad vision and mission, but if you look at the outline below are the strategic objectives of the department as stated in 2009-2010. So now in our oversight, are we satisfied that one, the department is creating conditions for sustainable tourism growth and development? Stage four. I'm not reading word, but I'm just trying to highlight the main points. The mandate of the department. So now, doing oversight is comparing the mandate and the actual performance, right? So now, their mandate is one, creating conditions of sustainable tourism growth and development, making the tourism industry more competitive, promotion of international tourism, promoting transformation, supporting job creation, supporting small town and rural tourism, reviewing of existing legislation, improving tourism infrastructure. For instance, they are saying that their mandate is improving tourism infrastructure. Do they have resources and capacity to do so? If so, we can look at those things. And then we break them down, and then section 2 looks at the annual report. Administration program 1, they had to set up an office, and they were given 273.1 for 2009-2010 after adjustment, and then they came up with an extra 50 million that they required, making the total 273.1, and through agreement, and then what happened to the purposes of that 50 million which was removed, there is another area to look at. Tourism was allocated a total budget of 812 million, that is program 4, and used all of it. Through the level of expenditure, though the level of expenditure was according to the projections, it was further noted that an amount of 44 million was shifted from other programs to this program during the adjustment period of the same year. And then a comment on the element that is shifting the budget from one program to the other, according to section 43 of the PFMA. And what it ought to do and what it ought not to do, that is page 6, that an amount is specifically and exclusively appropriated for a purpose mentioned under main division within a vote. So you cannot be adjust and transfer funds for purposes other than those that were intended when we drew up the budget. An amount appropriated for transfers to another institution, and an amount appropriated for capital expenditure to defray current expenditure. Capital expenditure is when you're supposed to build an office, you're supposed to build infrastructure, you're supposed to buy computers, and then you cannot use that money for paying staff or other current distinct expenditure. So we've got to check on that. Analysis of the department's current strategic operation and financial framework. I think that information we are familiar with. And then analysis of section 32 expenditure report according to the different programs. And then the analysis of the department's annual report and financial statements. the auditor general was unqualified. There was no unauthorized expenditure, disclosure items in the financial statements, transfer of agencies and other organizations that were prior management approval, treasury approval and disclosure requirements. Delays in submission of performance information. That was the concern of the auditor general, which was explained by the COO that because they were moving office, it was difficult to at the same time get the information in the required places, but they were still organizing the office. Then consideration of reports of committee on public accounts, there were two things, consultants, and where the issue is being considered by the auditor general, and then there was an issue of alignment in order to promote efficiencies and economies of the department. That is page 9 and the top. So then consideration of reports of committee on number 6, biannual performance and expenditure report for 2010-2011, we look at the different areas, but an area of concern was in program 2 on the expanded public works program, where we found that they had only spent 8% as against 25% that was expected, and thus they could have created much less jobs. And then when they explained, indeed it was so, and tourism growth then committee's observations, institutional arrangements, and then we go down tourism and local government, things that we continue discussing, and then each one can comment on their own or add anything. Then skip number 8 and the conclusion and recommendations. I think that is where we need to look and see whether the recommendations are in line with the problems and concerns that we have put forward in the report. Essentially, that is this report. And before adoption, I will expect members to read issues if there are any issues on this. Honorable Krumbo.
Chair, thanks. I think it's quite a well-balanced report. And certainly is my recollection of what we discussed over last year and what came out of those briefings and interaction. If I can make a general point on page 4 at the bottom and then also on page 6, I think it detracts from the report when we use hyperbole. I'm not sure it's all that clever to talk about, you know, total tourism GDP contribution is a staggering 7.4%. There's actually nothing staggering about it. It's just, it is what it is. And I mean, I've made the point that I think it's actually too low. I think we're underperforming, basically because we don't spend enough in marketing the country. And that, in fact, is your final recommendation. So I'm wholeheartedly in agreement with that. But let me just say it contributes 7.4% because there is a debate about whether that percentage should, in fact, be higher given what we actually have to offer in this country. Likewise, on the second last paragraph on that page.
Which line is it?
The line, I was staggering.
Yes,
the third line under item number 3.
Page 4.
No, that's page 6, sorry.
Page 6.
Page 6, item 3. Third line, fourth word.
Item 3. Okay. Yeah, I think the word staggering should.
Yes. And then in a similar vein, I mean, the second last bullet on that page, the department has registered incredible milestones. Well, incredible means something you can't believe. And we do believe in, so I don't think, maybe you could say significant milestones, whatever, okay?
They're actually fairly significant.
Yeah. Then on page 4, my last sort of query, just on the sort of grammar and the exaggeration, which I think detract from your report. The very last line on page 4 says the milestones include the outstanding exponential growth of foreign tourists. Well, the problem is that those aren't actually the figures. As we know, those are actually the visitors. Well, maybe that's what you're saying, foreign arrivals, but it's not quite just Department of Tourism, because we know some of those aren't tourists. So I would say exponential growth, because again, I think with proper budgeting, we could see those figures. So other than that, I think it is a good report. I really do believe on the very last page on your recommendation, perhaps that very last paragraph of yours, which is the point that we've been making for quite some time now, that could maybe be extended. And I say that because we all went to the mega event summit in Sandton some time back, and the point was made very forcefully by the official who was taking charge of the London Olympics, I think it was, that for every pound they spend marketing Great Britain or the UK, they get back £4 in terms of revenue. And that statistic is the one that the minister has referred to himself and really needs to inform this committee as to arguing quite forcefully for a higher budgetary allocation for ethnic tourism. So maybe we can build something like that in as a way of justification, but I would like to see that last paragraph just extended a bit, because that is something we know is holding the department and our country back, and I think it needs to be made a little bit more forcefully than just, you know, one paragraph out of four. It is really why we're not actually reaching our full potential, and therefore I think it needs to take part of place, and perhaps it should be the first paragraph and slightly extended. Other than that, I think it's a good report, and I think it's a fair reflection of the multi-party input that we made into the committee as well.
Do we agree that it should be the first paragraph and the conclusions and recommendations? Why don't you separate the two, conclusions and recommendations? And in conclusions, say whether they met their mandate, their expectations according to budget, and they spent according to their means. We are awaiting the issue of consultants, although perhaps there is a concern, we are still waiting for that type of thing. But they set out to have done this, and indeed they've done it. Except year. And matter of recommendations. We recommend 1, 2, and 3. All together. Okay. So conclusions should be the last item, and then recommendation should be item 9. Do we agree?
Yeah.
Okay. And then under recommendation, the first point should be the issue of the budget. Do we agree?
Yeah.
That one is okay. Any other point?
Maybe I'm going to be redundant. What about emphasizing on under recommendation, emphasizing the item on local government, tourism and local government, and sort of ask what recommend for keeping up of like for instance the items we've been discussing this morning. The items we've been discussing this morning, and for effect. We reiterate them that, you know, the local government should 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, like we have been discussing, for local government, and then also national government.
Should we say there should be more cooperation and better coordination or something like that? Who can face something?
Yeah, actually, I don't disagree with my colleague, but I think the problem is that we need to be holistic. That is certainly one of the things that this page on page 10 under our observation, there's a number of items there which we flag as being challenges that still need to be met in the future. Okay, I mean, and this one that's being mentioned now, the lack of capacity at local government level and planning, all that kind of thing, is certainly one of them. I'm just trying to see, in fact, there is a bullet there, just above. It's the last bullet under number 7.
The bullet under seven.
Yeah.
The committee's observations, institutional arrangements, we say this implies that national and provincial governments have the power to structure and arrange tourism at national and provincial levels whilst adhering to the principle of cooperative governance. Tourism should be institutionalized at local government level. So,
can I just finish my point here? So, what I think we need to say is that the problem is actually that last paragraph. Now that I read it again, I'm not sure it says what I wanted it to say, although I think the sentiment is there. I've been arguing for a greater budget for SA tourism. Okay, this one talks about for the Department of Tourism. I didn't see that clearly the first time I looked at it. I think they both need a greater budget. For the reasons that are mentioned in item 7, so it's take on my colleague's sentiments there. We could say that the Department of Tourism requires a higher budget allocation. And then rather than saying just to make an impact on skills development and for tourism awareness and outreach programs, that's part of what they need the money for. But also to address the challenges identified in the observations noted above. So we actually incorporate all those challenges. That's what the budget needs to address. And then in addition to that, I think one should say, and in particular, we believe that SA Tourism, as the main marketing arm of our country overseas, needs to have its MTEF funding restated, and it indeed also needs to have a budget which enables it to compete with other long-haul competitors like Australia. So I think there's two aspects to that. If one makes the second one specific as applying to SA Tourism in particular, and the first one general to address the problems identified above, or the observations that the committee made in item 7, then we're actually saying we recognize all these things, but in order to get it right, we need a slightly better budget articulation. Otherwise, if you just mention one of them, like local government, it's implying that we don't think the other ones need extra budget. And I think all of those things do need to be addressed. So I'm agreeing with my colleague, but I'd like to take it a little bit further and say let's address all these challenges through a greater budget allocation, both for the department and for SA Tourism.
Do we capture that
Well, I'm fine with the augmentation of the proposal. And also, I don't know where it has been addressed. I haven't had time to look for that. We need also to emphasize on the coordination of operations, right, for the skills. I don't know whether we can couch that here or if we don't elsewhere. I don't know.
Improve on linkages between national, provincial, and the local government. Would that cater for you?
Yes, Jefferson, it would, as long as it is properly presented. Can I just add on that point and say also intergovernmental coordination? I mean, it's very important in the sense that tourism cannot succeed on its own unless other departments also carry out what promotes tourism. But what about
the point that
the intergovernmental
cooperation.
Okay. What I wanted to say was on page 10 we've got the committee's observation. But also, I'm disadvantaging that I have not had time to look at this in detail. But the few examples I've looked at also show that within the observation, in my opinion, we are also making recommendations. Within an observation, there is a recommendation. So I would suggest that we either take them out of that
or we can repeat. Does it matter if there's a repetition? But I think we need to really itemize our recommendations, because to me that's the most important part of the report. In other words, what are we saying? We have criticized and criticized, but then how do we see the solution? So our recommendations are actually a solution to some of the observations and the problems that we have seen during our term of office. So I want to suggest them, without really looking at them individually, but I think if you look through, you will see that some of the points under the observations are actually recommendations we are recommending. And I didn't get it very well how we are going to separate the conclusion and recommendations. But what I would suggest was that we will start with the recommendations before the conclusion. Yeah, we have the recommendations before the conclusion. But what we have there on point number 9, there's hardly the recommendations there. So I think we really have to get the recommendations to be very clear as to what exactly we are saying. Now, earlier on, just a small point here, but it tallies with the observations that have been made by Honorable Grumbach on some of the words that he used. I suppose because the department of the whole has not given us much trouble, particularly with regards to the budget, we tend to probably overprint it. Yeah, I think there is that tendency. We must avoid being co-opted into the government and finding ourselves speaking as though we were. I object to the researcher disturbing the chairperson while we are talking, because he's not now listening. second paragraph on page 3. Second paragraph, 1, 2, 3, line 3. The second word there, or rather, let's read that sentence. This department has the burden of establishing a broader tourism product and so on and so forth. I don't think we can call it a burden. It's a responsibility, isn't it? Yeah, it can't be a burden. It's a responsibility. Yeah, that's what I wanted to correct. Otherwise, the others we will miss because we have not had a chance to look at it. But I think we should avoid, as I was saying, purposes, finding ourselves speaking as though we were the officials instead of us, the committee that is doing the oversight work. Yeah, there is sometimes that tendency. And it's easy with a department like this, you know, that we sometimes find ourselves speaking as though we were the officials, and yet we need to put our point as the committee so that the impact to improve the work of the committee, not as anything else. Yeah, there's another point here also. Maybe I'm getting confused. At some point, I'm not sure where I found this now, where it says that the budget of the department is 0.8% of the total budget. I think it's on... Sure. Can you help, Jerry? 0.8% of the budget. Of the total budget. I can't remember where I saw it. But I will not, contradicting what was said here the other day, that the budget of tourism is 0.1%. Where do they get the 0.8% and where do they get the 0.1%? So can you try and align those figures also? You remember when we had the last presentation here, it was in this room last time. Someone spoke of, I think it was Mr. Tiffany, he spoke of 0.1%. He was comparing us, for instance, with Australia and some other countries. Yeah, and he said we are 0.1 of the main budget, but here we are saying it's 0.8. So, who is the presentation?
I think that comparison needs to be made, like,
I look for that page in order to ask.
Okay. But I think we've got to make a point which is very short and sharp around domestic tourism. We that we've got to strive for more domestic tourism, concentrating on rural areas and better tourism spread or something like that. I don't know how to count it in. But as recommendations, we just make it sharp and short. Because sometimes some of these recommendations, because they are very long sentences, the point is not made. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. The point 8 is a budget, not for tourism, but for the environment and tourism as it was in the previous financial year.
Oh, okay. Oh, the budget. So how do we capture it? Do we capture it as a program of the budget? On your report.
My suggestion would be to look at the budget of tourism only, that was transferred to tourism, and then get a percentage of that. Because here it includes all environmental problems as well.
So in numbers, are you saying that the budget was 1.15 or whatever? Or do you include?
I'm saying we'd have to recount what percentage contribution was to the main budget, because here it's a calculation of the budget in terms of the whole budget for environment and tourism, which had other programs which were in other center stage as well.
Okay.
Maybe, Chairperson, I don't know. We should also look as to whether we are talking about the environment and tourism, environmental affairs and tourism, or we are talking about tourism. So I see now this sentence is just about environmental affairs and tourism. Now, perhaps what we got last time was just the budget for tourism alone. You see, that is possible, that the budget for tourism alone is 0.1. But that of environment and tourism is 0.8. So if you could check on that.
There's a simple way around this which will clear up all the conclusion. The contribution. I think what should be said is you talk about the total budget, because that actually was a department that had combined both aspects at the time. But then in brackets you put of which the Department of Tourism, or the now Department of Tourism, allocation was. And then you got both figures, because I don't think you can just state the one without the other. If you state the combined budget, you're not comparing apples with apples. If you just state tourism, people are going to say, but there was no budget vote for that. Because indeed there wasn't. It was for the whole thing. So state the main budget for both, as it was passed by Parliament, and then in brackets, identify the budget allocations that went to just tourism alone. And then everything is located in the correct documentation, and the comparisons are valid. That overfills the whole problem, I think.
Are we having any further contribution? I've just gathered from the researcher that that table of contents on page 2, it's the format that they received from the office of the House Chairperson. So with conclusions before recommendation. So we just leave it like the sequence, but perhaps the secretary can find out whether they are quite rigid about that. Because normally conclusions include things like thanking people and so forth, including acknowledgements and so forth. So if you have these things before recommendation, sometimes it becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
institutions. I mean, we haven't seen how it's going to be. We haven't seen how it's going to be reformulated, this report, and adjusted based on what has been said this morning. I don't know the time frames. Can you maybe guide us? Is it possible that the other draft report, was it one of the researchers? Was it yourself? I mean, the drafting team, is it possible? I'm just asking the question that they can take the suggestions that have been made, which I think have found broad agreement, and then resubmit the stuff so we can see that we're happy in their final. Because I don't think we can sign off the document that's been adjusted and we haven't seen the adjustment. Is that possible?
What are the deadlines like? No, definitely we can't allow for a situation where we send a document that you have not seen, because you have to see it. Perhaps what we can do is to check it, alter it, and then recirculate it. But what I find out is that there is nothing that in this document so far that we object to. All controversial issues have been removed, and it is the improvements that need to be added. And then we had issues and typing errors here, and we need them to. And then, in as far as our oversight is concerned, we included all the things that we experienced, isn't it? You said that the point of coordination, better coordination, and co-governance. I think that they will capture that point. I think except for conclusions and recommendations, I suggest that we look at it and then we consult with the office of the House Chairperson and see whether we cannot have for recommendations before concluding.
On point 5, the analysis of the department's annual report and financial statement. It's point 5 here on the list, table of contents.
Mm-hmm.
You mean we can't be specific about certain issues of the annual report? It's so general.
Are we talking about page 8, the point number 5?
Mm. So for page 8, point number 5,
yeah.
The analysis of the department's annual report.
The analysis of the annual report looks at financial management, it looks at the report of the Auditor General, it looks at consideration of reports of Committee on Public Accounts. Those are the 3 points. So what would you like us to add?
I don't know. If I were to look at the annual report, I'm just wondering whether I really wouldn't find, something to say about the annual report. That I reported there.
The problem that I understand what you mentioned, was that tourism was one of the 5 programs. So in the report, there's not much on tourism, but in the introductory remarks of the DG. They are having things to put in place, which I did not know whether they belong under administration, for instance, did not know where they belonged to the whole environment and the tourism. And then some measures that were taken. But tourism on its own was just one of the programs. That's where the difficulty is. And then the second thing, if you look at the human resource management, you could not separate what was for tourism and what was for environment. But there were issues there as well. But now, for purposes of the report, it was quite difficult. What we should have done was to compare that report when we're having a hearing on the annual report and ask the relevant questions when we got that elaborate report from the COO. But let us do it this way. Let us give ourselves a deadline tomorrow, 12 o'clock, distribute the approved document. And then wait for input. And then if now we're looking for that, let us look at that presentation by Mr. Faskalvik, for instance, and compare that to the annual report. And then see whether there's something that you can find. But there is not much on tourism because it was one of the programs. That was my problem when I had that in mind.
Yeah, thank you. Can't you then also say something like what you are saying for point number 7? Because I don't see point number 7 here, consideration of other sources of information. Because what shall you say? Why haven't we looked at other sources of information? Is it because they are not there, or is it because we did not do it ourselves? In which case, for me, I think there should be some remarks about that point number 7. I don't see it in the main report. In other words, we're supposed to have done some research on other sources of information relating to what you are doing here. But I think the point that you are raising, that tourism was only part of another department, and therefore there isn't much to say. It seems to me that point can come in under number 7 to give a reason why we have not considered other sources of information. I don't know if I'm making
myself. Okay. No, I think we get your point. And other sources of information could be our reports we made indeed when we went out. There could be other aspects through our observations that we made. But let us try it this way. Let us go and draft this thing. This draft report, draft number 2, make draft number 2 and circulate draft number 2. And for circulation by tomorrow, 12 o'clock by email. I'm sure that all of us now are on email. Those that are not on email, they can make arrangements in my office and get hard copies if need be. And then thereafter we make our further inputs, but our final deadline for a final document should be by Friday. Are we within the deadline?
Sir, what you have been advised by the management of the committee section is that when the report is the committee has made its input, and then what we will do, we will sit down and take into account all what has been raised here and incorporate in the report and circulate the report to all members so that they can see whether it reflects what has been agreed in the meeting. Then thereafter, as we were told, the report is supposed to be 80 feet tonight so that it can be in the 80 feet tomorrow. And then after that, the appropriation committee will pick up the recommendations that were made by all the various committees who were dealing with this budget of the department. So in preparation for budget allocations for committees and departments in the following year. So in other words, I'm trying to say we can go to the office and sit down and take into account all this and then recirculate the report, draft number 2 to all members.
Did you manage to do that today?
We can do. Because the final deadline was that all reports must be published in the ATC tonight.
All of them.
As I said already, those who consider their report earlier than us have already done so. Other committees.
Okay, we've circulated. So now it has to be submitted today. Then it has to be circulated by about 3 o'clock. Is that possible? Let us circulate it by about three o'clock, and then people that have anything to question, they have to contact you. If you have any difficulty, then contact me. Is that workable?
Yeah. I don't mind working late. I work late every night. But the fact of the matter is we have a plenary at 2, do we not?
Yes.
That's the problem. Sorry?
Up to 10 to 4.
That's the plenary 10 to 4.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, I have to go to the plenary. We're not going to get this report until 3 o'clock, I think you said. So the first time I will see it will be at 4 o'clock. I don't mind sitting down and working through it, sending through comments, approval, whatever the case may be. But I'm just wondering, is there going to be any staff member on the other end of the email? Because, I mean, not everybody works to 10 o'clock at night.
And presumably, you might have to do that to the not hit the reply button, yes.
I do not know. Is there any recording of what is happening here? Voice recording?
Wow.
Okay, let us just try it and have it by 3. And then simply the amendments to all the members. I don't know how we highlight the amendments on the email using red letters and so forth for purposes of members, and then track changes. Yeah, just put a line through and then put. I think it's about 5 paragraphs that we have objected to. Not objected, but we wanted improved.
Yeah,
let us do what is possible. But thank you very much to everyone for the great cooperation.